नारायण नमस्कृत नरम चरोत्तम देवी सरस्वती व्यास ततो जय मुदीर नष्टप्रायेश भद्रेश नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः. Will you say this verse? You all can see clearly. You want to, which one? Devanagari or English? Oh, both of it. Paraswabhava karmani yah prashansati nindati sa ashubhrashyate swarthat asatya viniveshatah. See, this verse is so important, what we are reciting today, that I'll just show you verse 1. This is number 2, 11.28. It was 11.28.1, if you see. See, that verse begins in the same manner. Paraswabhava karmani na prashanse na garhayet vishwamekatmakam pashyan प्रकृत्या पुरुषेण च. वेरी सिमिलर बिगिनिंग, करेक्ट? पर मीन्स अदर पीपल, स्वभाव मीन्स देयर कंडीशन नेचर, एंड कर्माणि मीन्स देयर बिहेवियर एक्टिविटीज एंड ऑल. ना प्रशंसेन, डू नॉट प्रेज, एंड ना गर्हयेत, डू नॉट क्रिटिसाइज. And Vishwam Ekatma Kampashyan, see that there is only one absolute truth in this world, one Supreme God, and that the world is filled with Prakritya Purushena Cha. You see that this world is filled with living entities who have come for a, you know, sense gratification program in this world, Prakritya Purushena Cha. And the second verse he says, Parasvabhava Karmani, Yah Prashansati Nindati, in case somebody does not hear this good instruction, they continue praising or criticizing the swabhava and karma of other jivas. When they do that, what will happen to them? Sa ashu bhrashyate swarthat. Very quickly, their ultimate goal of life will be vanquished, he says. And why? The reason for that, scientific reason for that, he says, is asati abhiniveshataha. He says, asati means they, because their consciousness becomes absorbed in asat. So, I thought of taking this shloka today for two reasons. One reason is, this was like stumbling across, like a diamond mine for me, this was. Actually, I have not studied Uddhava Gita before. When I recently went to Vidyapitam, I was studying Uddhava Gita. This is coming in Uddhava Gita only, towards the end of Uddhava Gita, this verse. I felt this verse, like these two verses, like eye-openers. As we discuss the meaning of this, you will also be able to relate with it and appreciate it. So, sometimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam or CC, you come across verses which give you amazing direction, which will make us think that, you know, this direction is such an important direction. I wish I knew it many years before. So this is such a type of verse what we are setting here. And another reason I took this verse was devotees told me in Krishnakshar Prabhu's group there are many intellectual devotees, they're very thoughtful devotees, and he takes also very thoughtful topics. So I thought, I cannot speak very thoughtfully, but at least I'll get one verse which is very thoughtful. At least put, and you all will appreciate that at least this fellow carried, just like a postman sometimes carries some valuable goods for you, no? Like that I thought I can carry. So, actually I saw your syllabus in VIT college and I got frightened. All the six systems, later on, Our Raspati Prabhu came and explained to me, Prabhu, this is how the outside world wants philosophy, you know, subject. But Krishnakshar Prabhu has made it very nice. But here, he will, through this systems of philosophy, he will give Krishna consciousness very expertly. And that is a very good way of reaching to the world actually. People, and they will become respectable subject. So, somebody can help me read the translation please. So, he says that Swabhava and Karma of the other living entities are observed by all of us. Is it not true? We are observing our own Swabhava also and behavior also, and we observe others also. And why we praise somebody else? For example, somebody has got a beautiful car. See, you are not aiming at a Mercedes-Benz car. But somebody has got some, even Santro car. Oh, you got a Santro car, it is so nice. If somebody says, the Shastra say, why they praise? Because they are also desiring to buy it. But they don't have enough money to buy. Correct. So, that praising is based on envy principle. Oh, you got it so quickly, but I couldn't get it for the last 4 or 5 years. Like that. And similarly, if somebody criticizes somebody in this world, they do so, why? Due to a sense of superiority. Or considering the other person inferior. Like that, they do. So, that type of thing is what is being spoken here. This is not talking about Vaishnava praising. In Vaishnava circle, it is said Mahaprabhu praised Vaishnavas as if he had 5 mouths. Mahaprabhu praised profusely also. So, and Vaishnavas also criticized, for example, Shrutta Vyadini Rajendra Ninam Santi Sahasraha Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Grahamedanam. He criticizes also. But that criticism is in relation to Krishna. So, in relation to Krishna, he is saying that actually Parikshit asked 2 questions. One of it is what should not be heard, what should not be glorified, what should not be remembered. And later he asked what should be heard, what should be remembered, and what should be glorified, and what should be worshipped and all. So, these two, when he asked this question, Shukadeva Goswami first answered what should not be heard. In order to save Parikshit from danger of hearing something that is unfit. And then he said that Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Harihi Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Chitavayam. That he said later on. So, Vaishnava's criticism is to, like our Shukadeva Goswami or Suta Goswami, criticizing something is to save the disciples and followers from falling prey to some wrong path. Similarly, Vaishnava's praising is done genuinely, honestly, humbly, with the desire to, praising another Vaishnava is actually not done with the desire to genuinely express one's gratitude. It is done like that. Whereas here, what it is speaking here, this is actually prajalpa, this one. Whoever indulges in praising or criticizing the qualities and behavior of others, he says, like for example, you will see that not only the information about people, but we can also talk about things also. Actually, one devotee said he literally witnessed this. One brahmachari had some kind of fever. He was taking rest in the Sevastan, we call it, health room. So another devotee came to meet him. Prabhu, I just came to see you. And then he asked him, did you take any medicine? And then he said, yes, Prabhuji, I have taken, today morning only Ayurvedic doctor came, I took medicine. He said, Ayurvedic you took, why didn't take allopathic? And that fellow said, no, I prefer Ayurvedic. Last 25, 30 years in my life, I never touched allopathy. He said. And this devotee said, but I don't know, Prabhuji, why you are so fanatical about allopathy? It's a wonderful thing, it's very quick, he said. So that devotee said, but Ayurvedic medicines are given by Lord Vishnu himself. Lord Dhanvantri is giving. He said. So, then this devotee was telling that, what about allopathy? Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Matta Sarvam Pravargita. Everything comes from Krishna only, But then that devotee said, yes, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava is correct. But then after taking from Krishna, these people have done lot of todmod, Lot of twisting in that, in the laboratory and everything. So it is exactly not what Krishna gave. But as far as Ayurveda is concerned, It is completely pure, 100% pure for sure. Like that, sir. So then this fellow got up, and then the Ayurvedic fellow said, see, allopathic tablets give side effects, but Ayurvedic tablets are wonderful. And this fellow said, Ayurvedic medicine will take 10 times more time than allopathy. Why don't you understand it? So in this way, they both, as they started proceeding in their back and forth debate and argumentation, it turned out into a heated dialogue. And this fellow got up from his bed. Both of them are arguing, which is better, Ayurveda or allopathy? Ayurveda, tsh, tsh, like sword, in a sword fight. Then hearing the sound, the manager came, and manager said, kya ho gaya in the health room? So the Ayurvedic fellow said, Prabhuji, aaram se so raha tha, Prabhuji. Uta diya anhone humko. Wo kya mujhe milne ke liye aaye, jagda karne aale hain, pata nahi. So then the manager later on came and asked me, Prabhuji, how you know this kind of fights can happen in this world? So I was immediately showed him Bhakti Aloka, this Bhakti Vinod Thakur's one article on Prajalpa. He says, useless talk leads to debate and argumentation. And debate and argumentation eventually leads to fault finding. And fault finding leads to blasphemy. These are increasing degrees. So what is the beginning? Useless talk, which is called Prajalpa. And Prajalpa leads to argumentation, arguing. They both argued, correct, no? And then debate. And then subsequently what happens? Fault finding. Then this fellow said, Prabhuji, you always prefer Ayurvedic because you are always slow devoting. I prefer fast because I do service also very fast. Like that, it became personality, correct, no? It goes. And then he said, oh, that means you say, I am like a tortoise, you are like a hare. Hair also slept off in between, you know that? So in this way it becomes very personal. See, in Mayapur, two devotees put tables for selling books. I don't want to mention the names. One was one guru's disciple. Another one was another guru's disciple. They put two tables, they put. They were selling the books. So this devotee was asking, Prabhuji, you know, how can you put such a big table? You have not taken permission from the authorities, you know. Whereas we are paying for this table, he said. That Prabhuji said, Prabhuji, how do you know that I have not told the authorities? Then this devotee said, no, I presumed, but I thought that, you know, you were not there yesterday, last 1 week. Suddenly you have come here. Whether I have to ask authorities or not, I know. You don't have to tell me. Something like that, he said. You know. Then this devotee said, see, you are putting these books which you are selling are not that important subject for the people. All people cannot read, only a few advanced devotees can read it. But the books which I am putting are more, you know, relevant to people and immediately. So like that, then he said, oh, that's what I said, you say these books are not relevant. Do you know which guru's disciple am I? Then he said, do you know which guru's disciple am I? Then it got into a guru, this thing. You know, which guru is big, which guru is, understand, no? It got little complicated. So in this way you will find, if we begin with some mundane argument, it can become very complicated over a period of time. So he says that even about what to speak of persons, even about the things in this world, one should not praise or criticize. See, many, many years ago, way back in 89, 90, there is a popular story which Rajan Swami used to say, which many of you may be aware. If you are not aware, you tell me, then I can briefly narrate it. This is well-known story. You might have told also. You know what it is? This is the landlord who had a son and a horse came into his compound. Good luck, bad luck. How many of you have heard it? Yes, now I'll ask you some question in that story. See, when the horse came, the neighbor said, what he said? Good luck, he said. But what the owner, the landlord said, sab Ishwar ki ichha. Is duniya mein kya hota hai? Sab kuch Ishwar ki ichha se hota hai. Bhagwan ko ichha ho gaya kuch dene ke liye, isliye Bhagwan ne diya. Lord wanted to give something, he gave. Okay. Like that he said. Then when the son went in the horse, and the horse galloped very fast out of fear, and it threw off the son, isn't it? And he broke his leg. So what did the neighbor say? Bad luck, he said. So he said, ye bhi Ishwar ki cha. See, you all have heard this Gita Sar in India, very popular one. Jo hua, jo ho raha hai, jo hoga, Acha hi hoga, he'll say. Correct, no? See, this is a very popular one in India. Only devotees can say this. Devotees understand, correct, no? Isn't it? So, like that he said, so that man was surprised. How can your son breaking the leg be considered Ishwar Kecha? Arey Bhagwan to, if you are connecting to God, God is always good. How can God cause bad? And that question came in the mind of the neighbor, isn't it? Then you know what happened. The army people came for drafting the boys. So the neighbor's son was forcibly taken away by the army, and the neighbor came crying to the landlord and said, alas, alas, my son is taken away. But your son, because the army people saw that he has a broken leg, what is the use of this fellow? They left him and went away. So what he said? Good luck, he said. Now you have a good luck, he said. So you know what this fellow said? Okay, I think God wants him to be saved, not die in the battle. Ishwar ki chat, no problem. See, some people say if someone is born and they die, people say, you know, Lord gave and Lord took away. So this fellow was very detached. If he has to go to war, it's all right. It's God's wish. If he doesn't have to go to war, it's also God's wish, he said. And the neighbor was greatly surprised. And so he said, good luck, okay. In this way he was there. And after 2-3 days, the horse went away. So the neighbor came and what he said? Bad luck, he said. Alas. You see, you got such a horse free of cost without paying money. But the horse went away, bad luck. But the owner said, okay, I never purchased the horse. It came on its own and went away on its own. Maybe God wanted to give it back to the owner, so it went away. So no problem. It's all God's wish, he said. Then again, after 3-4 days, the horse came back with its mate. I think it got married and came back, I think. Along with the she horse also. Both of them came. When they came, then what the neighbor said? Good luck, he said, yeah. So this fellow said, all right, it may be good luck, but ultimately, if God wants to, you know, make you wealthy, he can make you wealthy. If he wants to make you pauper, he can make you pauper. If he wants you to have many horses, you will have many horses. If you have no horses, no horses. But whatever God does, he knows the meaning. We cannot know the meaning because we see the present isolated from past and future, you know. But God knows why he is doing what he is doing. So, in this story, there is a very deep message for all of us. This fellow was always saying, Ishwar ki icha, Ishwar ki icha, correct, no? Whereas the other fellow was always calculating, this is good, that is bad, this is good, that's bad, correct, no? So, when both the fellows died, this fellow went back to Godhead. Why? Because always he was pivoted on only one principle, Ishwar ki icha, Lord's wish. Whereas the other fellow, he was always sorting out, yeah, achha, this is good, good luck, so I will take it. That's bad luck, oh, I will reject it. So he wanted to pick only the good ones, good luck ones, and the bad luck he wanted to deny. So then he got stuck in this world because of sorting out. You understand this, no? So there are many stories which in India people speak from the Puranas and other things. All these stories have this common theme which I told you now. Like, you know, in one man's house, one man was lying in the house. Suddenly a brick fell from the top and fell on his head like this, but and it really started bleeding. He screamed loudly and the neighbors put him in a car and took him to doctor. He screamed, he said, I don't have to go to doctor. Then I will put some kind of what? Mycin? Tetramycin, Sopramycin, some ointment, saibal. Mycin means I did some karma in the past, so I'm getting now reaction. Tetramycin. So this let it cure my this thing. So he was telling, I don't need to go to hospital, but other friends told, no, it's a very deep cut. Better we go to doctor. When they went to doctor saw it, he said, better put stitches. Stitches, it's very deep. So he put the stitches. So suddenly he got up at 2 o'clock and asked the doctor, doctor, tell me, what is the bill? Tell me. And doctor said, 4,000 rupees. He said, this is why I told, don't take me to doctor. I would have put, 10 rupees, tetramycin, some medicine. And I would have become all right. This fellow took me to doctor and 4,000 he's asking now. He was yelling at the neighbors and everybody. But doctor said, we heard one bad news. He said, you know what? At 12 o'clock at night, your whole roof fell down in your house. Because earlier one brick fell due to the cyclone. Later on, The whole roof fell. If you were under the roof, you would have become chutney under the roof. And you were saved. So the moral of the story is, God knows best. All of you repeat.
God knows best.
That's the lesson. And in the same lines, there are many stories in India. You all know the story of the man who was lying under that tree and criticizing God. What for he criticized? That is a lesson, isn't it? So then after that, what happened when he criticized God? He went to sleep. Then what happened? Yes. Okay, then what? From the height it falls, my head would be cut into pieces. Correct, na? So then what he said, what he concluded? The same, what I told you just now, what is the conclusion? God knows best. He came to the conclusion. So, another story you all know, the finger was cut for the king, no? One finger. So he thought, I am actually, you know, people will look at my hands and they will think he has only four fingers out of, you know, five. How bad I will look. He wanted some emotional support, you know. So he called the minister. He told the minister, you see, somehow in the last battle I lost one finger. You know, it looks little ugly. I don't know how to make up for this. He thought the minister may give some suggestion. Nowadays doctors put some artificial fingers also, you know, like rubber finger. He thought. But you know what minister said? God knows best. You know, your finger was to be broken, so God has broken it. It's for your good only, he said. So that's why he became angry, isn't it? And then the story continues how the when he became angry, eventually what happened was he put the minister in the jail and he went for, you know, went to the forest for hunting and then he was caught by the tribals and correct, no? So they were about to, you know, cut his body, but they found his body incomplete. See, that story has a very great moral also. Because his body was incomplete, you know, the king was spared. Correct, no? Similarly, in our life, if there is some incompleteness, which we want to somehow complete, we should know we are foolish. Because God sometimes keeps some incompleteness for a purpose. He doesn't do without a purpose. You will see the small children, when they depend on the parents, they benefit from the love and affection showered by the parents. And the parents also benefit by getting a chance to selflessly extend themselves. Correct, no? You see that. Imagine if all children are born adults, suddenly at the time of birth only they grow to the size of mother or father. Will there be such exchange? So the incompleteness in king's body turned out to become an advantage for him. Then he came back very joyfully. He said, God knows best. You know, God saved my health, saved my body. But then he was feeling pity for the minister. And he asked the minister, why did God arrest you? So what did the minister say? Isn't it? So that is also correct plan, he said. Which means, in Indian philosophy, you will see people have learned the art of accepting both sides of the coin equally, without criticizing suffering and praising happiness. We will repeat this verse now. We will, where is Sridhar? Sridhar? Okay, now Kishore only will ask. You stand up, Kishore. You recite the verse, Matras Parshastra. No, we all will repeat after you. You tell only small part. Matras Parshastra Kaunteya Shitoshna Sukha Dukkada Agamapayino Nityas Tam Stitikshasva Bharata. Next verse also, one more. Yam hi na vyathayante. That one. That's not new. Okay, anybody else knows? You want to say? Yeah.
Yam hi na vyathayante Purusham Purusharishabha Samadhukka Sukham Dhiram Somvritatvaya kalpate. These two verses are connected. First verse says, Shita Ushna, Sukha Dukkha, Mana Paman. What you should do? Tolerate, he says. Tolerate means God knows best. That is the meaning of tolerate. Huh? Krishna knows what is best for me. If dukkha is coming, sukha is coming, he knows why he is giving what he is giving. Actually, whatever the Lord is sending in our life, it's meant for chiseling out the unwanted aspects of our personality. Huh? Like for example, when you make a murti from a marble, you know, you take a chisel and you hit and hit and hit, hit and hit and hit, isn't it? It appears a very cruel activity, but eventually what comes out is a beautiful murti is carved out, correct, no? So, you will see that recently he was there, His Holiness Haladhar Maharaj, in Kunjibari temple, he was telling brahmacharis, you brahmacharis, you don't know what is titiksha, tolerance. If you want, you should learn from grihasthas, he was telling. Then he was telling how difficult it is for a mother to beget a child. It's not a very easy thing. 9 months she has to carry in the womb. And then the delivery of the child is a very painful process. After the delivery also for a few months she has to suffer. And after the child is born, first few years, the caring for the child is even more challenging. Similarly, he was telling about the grihastha men also. He said in the grihastha ashrama, the life brings such challenges, they eventually learn to become humble. He said, they go to office, even if the boss shouts also, they say, sorry sir, it's all right. At the home also, if wife or mother or father make demands, sorry, they're ready to put salute. He said, brahmacharis, they're demanding, ye kyon nahi hai, aaj kya poha hai? You know, why is only poha today? He was telling like that. He said, you brahmacharis, you have to watch grihasthas, saying, how they are tolerant. So recently when he came, that Kunjibari temple he was selling. So, our tolerance means what? It is not just, you know, gritting the teeth and tolerating. We have to tolerate knowing this knowledge. God knows best. So why he is doing what he is doing, he only knows. So he may give me sukha, dukkha, mana, apaman, shita, ushna, whatever it is. And if we tolerate it like that, what the next verse he says? Sa amritatvaya kalpate. You will go back home, back to God, he says. But this is not the meaning alone. There is a very important meaning conveyed in this 2.13 and 14. If we learn the art of tolerating these dualities in this world, you will get a singular one-pointed intelligence to focus on Krishna. And if we don't tolerate, our intelligence will become multi-branched. Bahushaka yanantascha buddhayo avyavasayanam. Honestly, tell me, how many of you feel your mother, father or your grandmother, grandfather, they were extremely polite, humble, tolerant in the face of adversities and never complained? Any of you observed it? Any of you? And how many of you feel the jamana badal gaya hai abhi, logon ke andar sahishnuta kam ho gaya hai? Kitne logon ko lagta hai? Agree? How many of you feel that? Correct. So, the reason is all the modern day gadgets. They have made us hyperactive now. There are 120 channels. You are given too many choices. Similarly, in the mobile also, there are so many apps nowadays. So many applications, so many different kinds of choices available. So, when there are too many choices given, then you are given too much independence also. Whereas in the Vedic times, you will see people accepted. If this is not available, that is there, chalo, no problem. Correct, no? You will say, they will adjust, lot of adjustment. Now, everybody wants, you know, independence in thought, independence in speech, independence in action. So, this is actually from the Western culture, it's getting influenced in India also. That is true. But the incompleteness is kept with a purpose. And we can see many times in nature also, God sometimes arranges things in such a way. Like you all know, for example, a buffalo or a bull or a cow, on the top of the buffalo or bull or cow, you will see a bird sitting sometimes. You know, they both are friends. Do you know why they are friends? Anybody knows? How a bull or a cow or a buffalo, on the top of it, birds come and sit. Birds don't fear. Why they are sitting? Yes, you know, Mataji? It takes out the ticks, correct, no? So, when it takes out the ticks, the animal feels comfortable, correct, no? At the same time, the ticks becomes a food for the bird, correct, no? So it is symbiotic, mutual relationship. So God has made this world an interdependent place. We all are dependent on one another. Nobody is independent. Like, you know, trees are giving you what? Oxygen. We give the trees carbon dioxide. Correct, no? And then the trees take our carbon dioxide and it gives out oxygen for us. So symbiotic. Cow gives us milk. In turn, we bathe the cow and maintain the cow, giving fodder and everything. So there is a symbiotic relationship. So in the whole world, you will find that kind of thing is made, arranged. Now, we need not try to artificially correct the situation in the world. Like, for example, there are some insects which come in the fields, which they say are good insects. The presence of those insects are important, but when you put pesticides, they are also killed. How many of you know there is something called good bacteria also? You know that? Correct, yeah. They are there for a purpose. Isn't it? And also when bad bacteria come, they have their purpose also. Because, you know, for the sinful reactions to be reaped, there has to be some arrangement also, no? You know? That is also made. So, when here is the point, when you talk about Tamasitikshasva, tolerating the dualities of this world, you will see that now we are not talking about people. No? Now we are talking about things. And we can also talk about people. Actually, talking about people is a more finer thing, more subtler thing and more complicated thing. That's why I'm talking about Shita Ushna and these kind of things I'm talking. For example, you all know that famous story of, you know, there were three platforms and scientists arranged for the rats different things in those three platforms. You all know the story? Like if the rats would press, they made one kind of glass casing. It had a door also. When you open the door, and then there were three platforms. And many, many rats were put. Tens of rats were put inside. And if the rat presses the first button, like this, immediately one piece of makkhan will fall from the top. And the rat will eat it. And the rat wondered, really? Another time, one more makkhan piece. So the rat was very happy. Then other rats noticed it. Then they also started eating. Everybody would jump up and beat it and take, and then they'll get down. Then another one will jump up, beat and take. Then some rats thought, here it is overcrowded, let me go to the next one. So second platform, they bet like this. And a puff of hot air would come. That is during the winter season. Chill winter, if you get a puff of hot air, how you will feel? Very nice, no? Like sometimes you take hot water bath in the morning, you don't want to come out of the bathroom. You want to go on taking again. And some people take smoky hot also. Isn't it? So these rats felt, oh, it's so nice. Like that they are getting again and again. Then some few rats thought, now both are occupied, now what to do? They went to the third one. When they bit the third one, shock came. He got shocked. My Lord, dangerous. Thank God my life is still alive. And they told other rats, don't go there. It's very dangerous. Better let us eat butter. Let us take hot air and let us be happy. They were saying. So nobody went there. Now the scientists changed the polarities. Now the first one when you beat, it gave shock. Then they all were confused and shocked. How is this that this is also giving shock? Then some of them said, maybe you can try the last one. Maybe there you may get makkhan. Then they went and tried. There they got makkhan. And they were very happy. Oh, now things have changed. Okay, let us all run there. Everybody ran there. After some time there, again the shock came. Then they came here. So they're going round and now they all got confused. Which one beat this? Here you get hotter. Here different things are coming. Now the scientists opened the door. Not a single rat came out. Because they were too busy now. Going round and round and beating this. Different platforms like this. See, what is this three platforms? The first platform is heavenly planets. Second platform is earthly planet. And third platform is hellish planets. Now in heavenly planets, it's like makkhan. Why? There is nice music going on. Apsaras are dancing. Beautiful gardens. We can drink somaras. And Indra is listening to nice Carnatic music, putting thala and counting. Very happy. Isn't it? So people think, oh, and there are beautiful waterfalls, beautiful lakes. Everything is wonderful. And not only that, you live very long life. Long duration of life also. And not only that, in case your life is 1,000 years, you drink amrit, your life becomes 1 lakh years. It is extended to a very great degree. So that's why it's like Makan. And the second one is compared to earth. Why? In this earth there is suffering also, but some comforts are also there in this world. So they get hot air, but no, nothing to eat, only hot air only, only comfort only. Here although some sukha is there, but you don't get so much, I mean. So, but the third one is what? What is that? Hellish planet, shock. Now when the rats were running round and round, first one when they pressed, what they got? Shock they got, isn't it? Similarly, when Indra is very happily hearing music, suddenly Lord Vishnu feels this fellow has become very complacent now. So he gives more power to the demons now. Then the demons, all Bali Maharaj and others come now. Ah, they come into the heavenly planets. Then Indra catches his dhoti and runs baga baga away. Correct, no? Which means in heaven also sometimes there is shock. Correct, no? Then Indra understands, kya rakha hai is duniya mein? You know, what kind of world is this? Dangerous world. I thought the heavenly planet is the best place. Even there also there is problem, isn't it? Now where will you run now, beyond heavenly planets? Isn't it? So, in this way you will find that in these three abodes also the situations change. Sometimes, I was reading in Bhagavatam, Chakravarti Thakur's purport, he says, when the demigods become complacent, Lord Vishnu, through the agency of Kala, makes the demons more powerful. And because of it, the demigods are woken up. Just like Jesus said, afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted, he said. Which means those who are complacent should be given a pinch. Sometimes a newly born child is not crying, the doctors give a pinch. You've seen that? Like that, they beat him and pinch him. Bang! Yeah, very good. Now it's very nice. Correct, you've seen that? They do that like this. Similarly, if somebody is too dull in practicing dharma and due to complacency, the Lord gives pinch, and he doesn't give directly. He just gives one push to Kala, and Kala gives push to demons, and demons give push to demigods. Nobody knows who did what. Isn't it very amazing? No? And Lord Vishnu is coolly sleeping in the Ananta Shesha, and he closed eyes as if nothing has happened, you see. So in this way, and the most amazing thing is the jivas are going round and round in this material world like a Ferris wheel, and they don't aspire to quit this world. And the reason for not quitting this world is this. Sa ashu brashyate swarthat asati abhiniveshatah. Asati abhiniveshatah means they are absorbed in what? Asat. Correct, no? Because what is asat? The three gunas. The products of three gunas is asat. They are attracted to it because they are going round and round in it. They don't want, just like Indra was stuck in the, you know, when he became a pig. He was stuck in that place where, you know, he never wanted to get out when Brahma invited him, correct, no? He was not even ready to, that is why I told you, he was in hell, but hell ki narakastopi dehampai napu maams tektu michati, it says. Naraka kobi was vargamanta, like that. He thought it is a happy place. And then he was called back for his Indra's post, correct, no? What to speak of that, going beyond this world requires withdrawal from material absorption. Sashu brashyate swarthat, he says. See, swartha is Krishna consciousness, the third line. Brashyate swarthat means his Krishna consciousness is vanquished and he is absorbed in asat. He is saying like that. Because like this, rats were absorbed in asat. Okay, now we have talked about the things. Now we will talk about the people. When we talk about people, we praise some people for some qualities and we criticize some people. For example, if somebody says, you know, like in our preaching also we say, we should try to get, you know, boys from IIT or, you know, NIT or IIIT. You know, like that they generally talk about, you know, in our preaching. They give them A+ or A and, you know, things like that. Now you will find, if you make a generalized statement, all boys who are passing out of IIT are intelligent. Can you make the statement? Can you make the statement? Some people, we even wonder how they got in the first place. There are people like that. You will be surprised greatly. Maggus also sometimes get in. You know Maggu? Maggu, you don't know. You know, correct, no? Maggu means one who cramps and vomits. Cramps and vomits. Some people get in also, like that. And another generalized statement is, those who could not get into IIT are all mobs. If somebody makes a statement. Like when we were in IIT, we used to see the professor's degrees. If somebody has written DSC, Pennsylvania State University, or Massachusetts Institute of Technology, or somebody is from Texas A&M University and things like that. And our friends would say, hey, pata fundu aadmi, dekho, he has got a doctorate and postdoc and such university, very big. And somebody has a doctorate from India, you know. It's a Baroda University or, you know, or Kurukshetra University or Mokananda, Nakananda University, you know, Shanmohananda, you know, something like that. When you hear like that, they'll say, are, you know, like in Facebook, they put like this, no? Like this and this, isn't it? You know, they used to think like that. But later on, we found, most amazingly, somebody who has earned a degree from India, they are like, extraordinary. There have been professors whose parents have told them, you cannot leave India and go. You are born in a Brahmana family. It's not good for you to go to the overseas. They're all mlechas. They eat beef. It's not good for you to go. Better stay in India. And they've stayed in India, got some simple degree. For them, which university they studied, it's immaterial for them. They are, like we are absorbed in Krishna conscious philosophy, they are absorbed in subject. There are people. You know that? You've seen people like that? Who are mad. They have a passion for their subject. Any time you go 24 hours, they are reading different books, writing different things. They are very happy in their subject, like that. Like you see, for example, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, he never went to IIT. He never went abroad. But he is shaking so many intellectuals all over the world. You can see that. Here comes the important point. Never make a generalized statement. Because this world is not one or zero, black and white. This world is always a combination of the two. That's what he's saying. And if you try to make it like black and white or one or zero about people in this world, you will end up becoming a fanatic. Like I told you, two statements I told you, both are wrong actually. Every IITian is smart, no, most smart, or anyone who could not get into IIT or NIT is muff. Both are actually wrong statements, correct, no? Because you find both types of people in both places. In people who I study in average college, sometimes you find a powerful intellectual stuck in average college. The reason is this. In Bhagavad Gita, there are five parameters. What that was? Adhishthanam. What is that was? You know that? Correct. Five things are the different experiences. For example, you may endeavor, but the super soul may not permit. Or you may endeavor, but the circumstances may not be favorable. Like it is like the example is given. If you are going in a car, for example, I am asking you, you go in two different roads. You go in a scooter to Bombay and you go in a Mercedes Benz to Bombay. Out of the two, you can confidently say, who will reach first? Mercedes will reach. Provided they go in the same road. Correct, no? Imagine one is going in the express highway. Another one is going in a Dabba road, which has got a lot of broken roads. You know, there are a lot of, you know, ups and downs and everything. Like the old road, you know, still it is there. And if somebody is going in a Mercedes Benz there, you can't say who will reach first. Scooter may reach first also, if it goes in express highway. Correct, no? So, that is why this becomes complicated, because the five factors are there. Five factors of action. The soul, the super soul, the environment and the circumstances, and which is the other one? Karma. Different types of endeavor. Cheshta. That is another endeavor. Yeah. Another, and one more? Last one? Super soul is the last one. Adhishthanam is actually this thing. What do you call it? Place of endeavor. So, one example is given for this. When you are going in a car, the road also should be good. And the driver also should apply the clutch, pressure on the clutch. If it doesn't apply, then car cannot go fast. And the car should be in proper condition also. Correct? Now, all these conditions are there. Many conditions. So, multiple parameters are ultimately bringing about success to somebody. That is why don't make generalized statement. So, that is one understanding. Second understanding about dealing with people is called naked pencho perception. Who knows naked pencho, sorry? Here? Mataji can tell? Yes. Give the mic to her. One mic. Is it? Okay, okay. Maji, loudly can tell this. And what was his name? Ah, correct, yeah. The name was Pencho. Correct, yeah. And then he went to London and he got a barrister. And he returned to India and became a high court magistrate. And then? Ah, actually, the village people came to know that he has become a high court magistrate. When they heard it, they laughed and said, how can that fellow become a high court magistrate? He's a naked Pencho. They were saying, we have seen him in the village. And when somebody insisted, no, I saw with my eyes, then they said, maybe he's not taking any salary. Like that they were saying. You know? Because the village people could not believe. See, even your mother, father, when they see you, they remember the old days when they have seen you as a small naked boy or naked girl. You have seen, no? They think like that. They cannot raise their vision beyond that. They still treat like that. Radhana Swami was telling, my mother, my father still sees me like when I was a small kid. He said it is just impossible to erase that type of this thing. Now when it comes to people, we also hold perceptions about people which are called fossilized perception, we call it. What is called fossilized perception? You know what is fossil? Anybody knows? What is a fossil? Like some bones of some dead bodies or some different parts of the, like different small, big bones and similar type of things when they get buried in the ground and they go deeper and deeper and deeper. They are not easy to be destroyed. They remain as it is. So similarly, we hold a perception about somebody which we refuse to change over years. But although we may refuse to change, not want to change, but that person changes. Like Dhruva Maharaj was seen by Suruchi. But Dhruva Maharaj went to forest and returned. Was he same Dhruva? He was changed Dhruva. Now, Mrigari, he was half killing animals. But after he met Narada Muni, you should not call him Mrigari anymore. You should call him Mrigamitra. Correct, no? Mriga Ari means enemy to me. But after he became, after he got initiated with Narada Muni, was he same? He completely changed. He became friend of all the animals. Even an ant also. Correct, no? Can you tell anybody else whom you feel that they had a complete radical change in their personality, like we say hippies to happies? Jagai Madai. Jagai Madai. See, well, there is one story which some of you might have heard. When Madai became, I mean, initiated by Mahaprabhu and everything, at one time Madai went to Nityananda Prabhu and he fell at his feet and cried and said, you know, I hit you on your head and who can be more cruel than me because you are the most merciful. I am wondering how will I be forgiven. Nityananda said, no, I forgive you long ago, don't worry. But he couldn't accept it. And he told, please give me some service from your own hand so that I will take up that service. Then Nityananda wanted to pacify him. So he told him, okay, you make one Madai ghat, he told him. So Madai went to that place of Ganga and started making a ghat there. At that time, many people watched Madai making this ghat and they said, hey, this fellow is doing drama. How much atrocities he has done. So some people would take a stone and throw at him, throw on his head or throw on his body. And he would naturally feel pain. But he would pick up the stone and go and give them. Please, you know, throw it again on me. Beat me again. And people were surprised how this fellow has become a saintly person. They were very amazed. So that is another example of somebody radical change in the personality. Now why are we talking about radical change? In case we don't change our perception of someone, but that person has changed, then we are at a loss, correct, no? And likely that we may commit offenses, correct? If somebody has got changed, because we are criticizing based on the old perception we have. You understand, no? Actually, you will find people change a lot in this world within a few years also. People keep changing. So here this verse teaches one important thing. When we talk about people, praise about people or criticize people, what happens? Sa ashu brashyate swarthat asati. That is also considered asati. The reason, and he says in the purport, you know, if you read the purport, I'll just show you one section of the purport. He's saying, rather, here I'll read. The word asati abhinivesheta means by absorption in the temporary or unreal, that indicates that one should not adopt a concept of dvandva, material duality, and praise or criticize. Like for he says, one should praise pure devotees and criticize the rebellious mentality, he's saying. Like what we should compare, he's saying. Here he's saying one more example. One should not criticize a low-class materialist thinking that a high-class materialist is nice. In other words, one should distinguish between the material and spiritual and should not become absorbed in good and bad on the material platform. This is the main point. On the material platform, if you see good and bad, we will get stuck. Somebody says, today it's raining, so I am little not feeling, I am mood out. My mood is not good. Somebody is saying, hey, today is sunny. It's a sunny day. Today is a rainy day. Today, what is this food? What is that food? When one talks about only, see there, that sentence, one should, I will highlight that. This is a vital sentence. See, one should distinguish between material and spiritual. And should, like one lecture I asked a big group of students, I said in C-class jail, unfortunately they won't give you mosquito nets. They won't give you hot water in the morning to bathe. They won't give you blanket to cover in chill winter. So you may not like it. But what about A-class jail in case they provide you all these things? How many of you prefer A-class jail over C-class? Majority boys raised hand. And A-class wonderful. Except one or two fellows who said, no, we don't want the jail at all. Right now. Isn't it? Similarly, here he says, don't compare, one thing to another thing within material world, because both are inside the material world only. So Prabhupada says, this is like sometimes in a meeting of the pigs, they talk about it. If you go to that gully, you will get wet stool. In this gully, you get only dry stool. They talk like that. So Prabhupada says, what are the nonsense they are talking? Both are ultimately stool only, isn't it? Similarly, in this, some people, hey, this actor is more beautiful than that actor. Hey, this actress, she has more fans than that actor. What nonsense you are talking. They all have perishable bodies. So, in front of the Supreme Lord, who is like the sun, all this Nayak, all become Kalanayak. Because they are like a glowworm. Correct, no? A glowworm can shine when? In the dark night. So, when we are in ignorance, these actors, actresses can capture our minds. When we become enlightened, they have no locus standing. They cannot stand. So, the glowworm, if you see in the morning, it's like a green color germ. Green color insect. You have seen that? It doesn't give out any light in the morning. It has no value at all. You see? Similarly, you see the stars and other people in the morning. Can you see them? In the presence of sun, they all vanish practically. You can't see them. So, Krishna Surya Sama. Mayahaya Andhakar, Visana. So, Mayahaya Andhakar, in Maya, all these heroes, heroines can occupy the minds of people. Asatya Abhinivesataha. And people compare. This fellow is better than that fellow is better than this fellow. In Tamil Nadu also, they used to compare. Rajinikanth is there, Kamala Hassan. Somebody will say, Kamala Hassan is better than Rajinikanth. And somebody will say, hey, Rajinikanth, cheap popularity. So, people used to compare and watch movies. And people used to, watch some movies. 24 times, the same hero going. So, this is actually called asati abhiniveshataha. So, don't compare one material item to another material item, he's saying. Compare material items with spiritual items. He says, say that the conditioned souls are suffering, the liberated souls are in Vaikuntha. Say that the material world is smoke, spiritual world is fire. But in material world, if you make comparison, it is like, comparing something within the smoke. Like that he is saying. That is the point. You see? And then he says, this is what I told you. For an example, honest citizen distinguishes between civil freedom and that of imprisonment. That's the example I told you. And then this is a very important thing coming behind. Somebody read this, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Krishna Shri, you can loudly read it. Yeah, see, we should not categorize the people like this. And if you categorize like this, again, asati abhiniveshataha. Correct, no? So, like we label somebody as liberal or we label somebody as conservative. But you will see that Even people who are liberal will be conservative in certain things. And even the conservative people will be liberal in certain things. I don't know whether you remember, I was telling you, some of you might have heard this. Once when I was in Vada, Shaman Prabhu and Govind Prabhu had one discussion. The discussion was centered around, Shaman Prabhu casually said that nowadays a lot of Western body devotees are coming to Vada farm. I think we should start pizza, pastry and Manchurian and all that, different things we should start. Govind Prabhu said, no. None of this should be brought here because this is farm. We should give only Indian cuisine. Let them come and taste chapati, sabji, bakri. These kind of items they should taste. But Shaman said, okay, you taste all this. But if Western body people want their items, Italian, pizza and all that, we should provide for them. He said, no, for them also they should taste Indian. Then they both saw me, I was watching, they asked both person, Radhesham, what do you say? So then I said, Prabhuji, I also agree with you, Vedic, I also like Vedic, all these new things I came to learn in ISKCON only. So I said, I like Vedic also. Dear Vedic. Then Govind Prabhu told Shaman, aha, jassi, Radhesham. See, Radhesham generally assesses things very nicely. So he has agreed, you have to agree now. So we should have only this. Then Shaman Prabhu looked at me and said, Radhesham, if Radhanath Swami wants to bring these items, what will you do? I said, Prabhuji, Maharaj wants, how can I say no? And I will not eat, but others can eat. Then Shaman Prabhu said, just see, now Radhesham is bent down now. But why I was telling you, in this way, actually Govind Prabhu is very dear to many of even the teenage children for his being very kind and friendly and liberal with so many. But he is very strict about this. You can ask him. Correct, no? Bhaktira Sanat Maharaj is considered extremely liberal also. But once when he came to Pune, our Balagunpu told him to speak a lecture, Maharaj said, women should generally, women should be homemakers and they should not go to office. He spoke in a lotus voice meeting. Some Matajis got shocked. When they came to the temple hall, they wrote a chitti to Maharaj. Maharaj, I am an MBA and I am very ambitious in life. And even if I get a child, I will take care of child also and maintain office also. I can do both also very nicely. Am I allowed to go to office? Mataji basically wanted one yes or go ahead. And Maharaj wouldn't say yes. He said, no. Women should be homemakers. He's just stuck to his point. You are there? You should be at home. Actually, then I was very surprised because I have been telling many grihasthas who would ask me, no problem. In case Mataji has studied a lot, she has done degree, MBA, MCA, something. At home, if she is sitting at home, her head would be spinning because they want some activity. Nowadays, times have changed and people's mindsets are changing. In case they wish to go for a job, let them go. But once they get a child, they can stay at home. But one Mataji said, even after I get a child, I can still work, because in company there is a facility nowadays. What they call it in IT companies they have? Crash they call it. Crash, huh?
Crash.
How do you spell it?
C-R-E-C-H.
Oh, C-R-E, crash. C-R-E-C-H. So they have facility, you can take your baby to company. And they are saying, we will take care of your baby, you work in computer. Amazing, no? I was thinking, ISKCON temple, we should provide a facility, you come and do garland. isn't it? What an amazing idea. See, even for devotional service, we are not providing and companies are providing like this. So she was telling, Prabhu, I can still work, Prabhu. Anyway, then I said, anyway, it's your choice, I told them. But Maharaj actually, although Maharaj is considered very liberal, he is strict about certain things. So liberal people are also strict about certain things and strict people are also liberal about certain things. Understand? So you cannot label somebody as, and the forehead you put, he's a strict fellow, he's a liberal fellow, correct, na? So we have a tendency to label somebody based on what? Our experience. One real life example I'll tell you. One of our boys from Pune, innocent boy, he was chanting 8 rounds or something like that. 6 or 8 rounds he was chanting. So, some boys talk about Prerna in Bombay to be a very wonderful festival. He used to write to me occasionally mails. He wanted to go to Prerana and come back and write to me. So he went to Chapati Prerana. And in the Prerana lecture, when he was entering the temple, In one of the entrance, when he was about to enter the entrance, they were bringing the big patela of halwa. And that halwa bringing devotees, 4 or 5 devotees were carrying with great, you know, very heavy weight. No? They looked at this fellow standing in the entrance place. So they shouted him, "Hey, Hajja!" They told them, you know. My Lord, he got shocked, he got frozen. He immediately went behind. And he didn't attend the prayer now only. He came back and he wrote a 2-letter, very tearful mail. You know, "Prabhu, I went to Bombay, Prabhu, you know. You told me the temple is a wonderful temple. I was so shocked. You know, Hatja karke bol diya Prabhu ji humko." I got completely broken hearted, you know. "Now I will never ever go to that temple." And I said, "Are you are very sadly mistaken," I told him. "You have not met the devotees." "No, no, Prabhuji, one devotee only told Hatja." Then I wrote him, "Okay, well, at least once more you give a chance, benefit of doubt. Just go once." I said, "No, no, no, Prabhuji, I am afraid to go." He said, "No, don't be afraid, just once you go." And then he agreed. Then I told him, "Don't go without telling me in advance. You should tell when you are going." So I was going in the middle of the week on a Thursday or something like that. So he told me, "Tomorrow I am going to go." Immediately called one brahmachari in Bombay and said, "Hey, this fellow was hurt like this." I explained to him the situation. "Thoda sambhal lo usko." And Chopati devotees are already known for love and care. "Usko sambhal lo bol diya usko." Agle din when he went, he was welcomed with red carpet welcome. And devotee gave him big plate of Rajabhog Mahaprasad. Gave him a garland, Maha garland from Radharani. Gave him lot of Vrindavan Tulasi and a lot of Mahaprasad to carry back. Everything, many gifts he gave him and dropped him in the station and sat and talked to him 2 hours. Then this boy came back and wrote a 4-page letter to me. "Prabhuji, Chopati is not in Bombay, it is in Vaikuntha." No, you know. "Prabhuji, the devotees, nobody walks there, everybody dances there." "Nobody speaks there, everybody sings there, you know." He said, "Prabhuji, now I am considering myself what a fool I was. Now I am understanding what that temple is." So he was like a pendulum, you understand, no? He had one experience, he concluded wrongly, then he went to other extreme. So that is why it is said, don't conclude about any place or people with one experience. Like sometimes you go to, somebody is giving a lecture, you attend, and you attend 15 minutes of that lecture and you push off. And you go and comment to people that, "Hey, this fellow is very boring. You know, in his lecture, look at his lecture. You know." But actually, we only have seen a small portion of his personality. We have not seen, actually we have no ability to completely understand a person. Only Krishna can understand everybody properly. So, in this way he says that most people in this world, they will say, "ISKCON is nice." Why they say, anybody knows? Why people say ISKCON is wonderful? What type of experience? Just experience with one person. If that one person treated them warmly, they will say, "ISKCON is very nice." Like that they will say. And if one person treated them badly, whole ISKCON is bad. They will dump a lump, we say. In English, the word lump is used. They will lump whole of ISKCON as bad. This is called generalization. So the generalization leads to judgmental speech. So in order to avoid the judgmental speech, one should avoid generalizing. So don't go for 1 or 0, black or white, that type of, you know, which means ISKCON is nice also and ISKCON has problems also. Similarly, devotee also, like you heard this saying, every sinner has a future and every saint had a past. So who is a sinner who has a future? Ajamila. He was a sinner, but he had a very bright future, correct me. And every saint had a past. This is Mrigari. Mrigari became a great saint now, but he had a past bad, yeah. So everybody is a combination of bad and good in different proportions. You cannot label somebody as totally bad. Even a bad person has a good side also. This is actually a synthesized vision. So Radhana Swami in one lecture revealed one very great secret. He said, for people who are very advanced and realized, for them the head and heart are one. He said, the head and heart are one, he said. Which means, he said, I asked Maharaj, you know, should we preach very boldly to people or should we preach softly? So Maharaj said, you should politely, preach to people boldly. How can I do both? He said, you should treat them so warmly that when you boldly speak, they will listen to you. He said, otherwise you are bold. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into the hearts of Prakashananda and Saraswati and Throbhattacharya, and then he spoke very boldly after that. And then he said, bold speech or soft speech, it's immaterial. You have to lift the people up, not push people down. It's another criteria, I said. Maharaj said, I won't mind chastising people or praising people, provided it uplifts people. That should be the criteria, he said. Whatever it takes to uplift a person. Like that, he said. So, that is why he is saying, don't actually label people or lump people as liberal, conservative, rich, poor and all these things. See, somebody is poor, rich now, sometimes there is a recession, correct? Boom, crashing down, he becomes a poor man. Somebody is poor, he becomes, like we say, rags to riches. Correct now? So, don't label anybody. Material life is always imperfect, full of ignorance and disappointing in the end. Then he is concluding, rather than praising and criticizing high and low features of ignorance, one should be absorbed in Krishna consciousness on the spiritual platform of eternity, bliss and knowledge. That is the conclusion. So, now coming back to the verse, if you see this verse, here he says, Parasvabhava karmani yah prashansati nindati. That means praising and criticizing people on the ignorant, within the world of ignorance, such a person, sa ashu brashyate swarthat asati abhinivesitah. This is called abhinivesha, means material absorption. Now, opposite of this, anybody knows? What is opposite of asati abhinivesitah? That is, there is one beautiful verse. Shinvan grinan samsparayam sachintayan nama nirupani chamangalanite kriyasi yastvacharanaravindayor avishta cheta nababaja kalpate. That's the verse. Please repeat the last line alone. Avishta cheta nabhavaya kalpate. If one absorbs oneself in namani rupani cha mangalanite, the most auspicious name, form, qualities, pastimes, activities of Krishna, then you become avishta cheta and Vishnu or Krishna, then nabhavaya kalpate. The material world doesn't exist for you anymore, he says. So I should conclude that lecture with auspicious note. So, I will conclude with auspicious note by telling you something very interesting I recently read in the Gopi Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. There is one of the prayers of Gopis. We will recite this. Who is a mridangam player? You know one, two step? Dhinamachandra is here? Yes, we will recite this.
Virachita bhayam vrishni duryate.
Boliye.
Virachita bhayam. Charanami yusham samsruter bhaya. Karasararuham kantakamadam. Karasaroru Shirasi Dehi Naha Shrikaragraham
They are saying, the gopis are saying, my dear Krishna, charanam iyusham samsritair bhayat. Anyone who takes shelter of your lotus feet, they have become completely free from the fear of material existence. All of us are afflicted by some fear or other in this world. One devotee boy was telling me, one day, before coming to Krishna consciousness, when he was walking in the road, he used to be very afraid of ghosts in the night. You know? Suddenly the power was cut, it was blackout everywhere. So it was raining also a little bit. So he became very, very afraid. So when he was walking in the road, suddenly he saw a ghost like this, coming like this. He fell on the ground, unconscious. Then lights came and somebody sprinkled the water and lifted him. Then he got up and saw the so-called ghost was nothing but electric pole. So this is electric pole, you have seen that? It has got this like this. So he said, later on I laughed to myself. But when I came to Krishna consciousness, he said, now I can walk in the pitch dark of the night and I have no fear. He said, the fear goes away. Abhaya charana aravinda, that's what they are saying in second line. Charanami yusham. What to speak of ordinary chotamata fears, we are not fearful of even samsriti, which means material existence also. Janma mrityu also, we are not afraid, they are saying. And then they are saying, kara sarurham kan. Sarurham means lotus. Your lotus hand is kanta kama. It satisfies all the desires of devotees. Shirasi dehinaha. Can you please kindly keep your hand on our head? Like Lord Narasimha keeps his hand on the head of Prahlad. Uttape tachirshni adadat kara ambujam. He kept the hand on Prahlada's head. That is the only picture of Narasimha where he smiles. All other pictures are dangerous pictures, right? Why he smiles? Because in contact with the devotee's head, Lord is smiling. Similarly, you kindly keep your hand on our head and bless us. Because your hand is your vara. What is Krishna's name? Varadaraj. Vara means boon. Da means giver. Giver. Varada. Raj means, yes. Some people can give you 100 rupees donation, some can give you 1,000, and Krishna can give you unlimited. Correct, na? So, the same manner they are asking for the blessing. So, I will give you one homework for all of you. You can make a summary study of the divinity of eyes of the Lord, the divinity of hands of the Lord, the divinity of the lotus feet of the Lord, and the divinity of the speech of the Lord, and the divinity of the navel of the Lord. Five places I have told you in Lord's body. So now if I ask you, every one of you may raise hand and you may say so many things. Only we have run out of time today. But I'll give you as a homework, think about it. By Krishna's glance or Rama's glance or Vishnu's glance, what they did. And Krishna's hands, what he did, Krishna, Rama or Vishnu. Same with the Lord's lotus feet from which Ganga is emanating. So, and that's the Lord's navel and Lord's mouth or speech. So these five things, think about it. Maybe next time when I come another time, if I remember, then I will ask you questions, then we will take. Next year, Janmashtami. But it's a very worthy meditation because I do this meditation before chanting the holy name, in the morning, before doing japa. If you meditate on even some of these things, they are so purifying to the heart. They are mangalam, most auspicious. So they are worthy of meditating. And actually, we have to raise our consciousness above the this kind of praise and criticism of the material world to the Lord's name, form, qualities, pastimes, activities. That is actually a sure shot way to revive our love for Krishna. So, any of you know this verse? Jitatmana prashantatma paramatma samahitaha shita ushna sukha dukkeshu tata manapamaniyo. That is the same verse as this. That means you conquer the shita ushna sukha dukkha manapaman by not focusing on them and tolerating them and focusing on the super soul. Then you, super soul is immediately achieved, Krishna is telling. Srila Prabhupada ki. So, I generally come once in a year before the Janmashtami and I go for one full round to different groups. So, I am here in the group of Krishna Kishore Prabhu and Narasimha Mataji. Anyone else is there? Only Krishna Kishore Prabhu's group is here. Yeah. So, this is one of the older devotees group in Pune. Many years it has been going on. Parampuja Radhanath Swami said the counselor system was several times started and stopped and started and stopped in 93, 94, 95. But after that it took off once and it never stopped. And it has been going on very steadily. And the most happy thing for me is all of you are nicely sheltered, like one big family here in Krishna Kishore Prabhu's group. And I heard that more than a dozen devotees from this group were sent for assistant counselor training also. So that's a very glorious thing. So one Hari Bol for Krishna Kishore Prabhu and Rasindra Mataji. So this is a successful leader produces many leaders, we say, na? So they have produced many, many powerful leaders in this group, and they are empowering them, and they are going and preaching now, and you know, they are making more devotees and offering them shelter, which is a very wonderful thing. So I am very thankful to them, and also thankful to all of you for stably practicing your spiritual life. Ranaswami once told that, somebody asked the Maharaj, what do you appreciate the most in a devotee's life? Maharaj said, consistency. He said, what is it? Consistency, which means steadiness, sthairya. And somebody asked the Maharaj, can you tell Maharaj some substance of Krishna consciousness? Maharaj said, absorption. These two words he used. So, we should have consistency and steadiness in our spiritual life. And while being steady, our mind should be fully absorbed in, like we said, Nama Rupa Guna Leela in this. So, I'm thankful to them for guiding the devotees very wonderfully and keeping this group very enlivened and enthusiastic. It's a very wonderful service. And because of he doing it, and subsequently many other youth counselors, younger counselors are doing, he was the first one to start the Nityan Sabha training. Now many others he has lined up and trained. Many, many great leaders are coming up because of this. I'm very thankful. Chit Prabhupada ki.